Non so di andare solo qui. Around 1981, هذا الشيخ الحديث وعبد محمد زكريا صاحب رحمة الله عليه published on the shows and he was yet to arrive and there was some discussions taking place as to guests that are going to be received, the food, the feeding arrangements, etc. And Mufti Saab Rahmatullahi was here already, and the Sawf until then was quite a new thing. 1980-81, people didn't know much about it. Like the Tablighi Jamaat movement, until 1963-62, nobody knew about it. 62, just a little bit surface, just to the surface. People got to understand around 75. It took about 10 years for the Jamaat activity to be known. So Haji Bhai Paria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali had asked Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, the tasawuf kya cheez hai? What is the tasawuf? It was something quite unfamiliar. He also didn't know very well about it. What is this all about? So Hazrat Mustafa Rahmatullah Ali explained to you. There is a famous person known as Amir Shah Khan Sahib. Wasn't an alim. A very influential person, wealthy person. And he had seen our Buzurganuddin right from the time of perhaps Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So he had seen a lot of history. And he had seen Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So you can see now the space in between. Right? So as Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah explained, this Amir Shah Khan Sahib, he related a story to Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Around that time, he had taluk with Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he explained a story to him. He says, I was seated in the Haram Sharif, and there was a youngster that came in the place that I was seated, and it wasn't very long thereafter that the Buzurg that we were seated by, so he says, he raised his head and he says, yes, there is a girl, these are her features, this is the complexion, this is the type of hair, gave the whole description, and perhaps this is the age. So the youngster blushed and was a bit embarrassed. So he says, yes, when I was much younger, I had fallen in love with this girl. Right. I didn't do anything haram, but it was a love. And sometimes I reminisce the past, I think about her, or the thoughts of this girl just passes the mind. And when the thoughts pass the mind, I become a little bit perturbed. So I think of her a little bit, I get some relaxation. So he mentioned this story for the first time, and then he repeated the story for the second time at another majlis, in another sitting. And Amir Shah Khan Sahib repeated the same story for the third time. Now when he mentioned the same story for the third time, Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi tells him, Amir Shah Sahib, tumhara yaddash kuch kamzor ho gaya, your memory is failing you, that you repeat the story for the third time. So no, my memory hasn't failed me. I mentioned this story for the first time. This was the date, this was the place, and perhaps this was the time. And these were the people that were seated in the majlis. These are the people that were sitting on the right, and these were the people that were sitting on the left, and these are the people that were seated in front. So his memory was excellent. When I mentioned it for the second time, this was the whole ambience of that sitting. And this is where you were seated, and this was the date, this was the time approximately. And the third time. But I'm just repeating the story because I want to hear something. So as Maharaj Gangoi Sabrahmata explained, you see, I'm here in Gango, and my Sheikh Al-Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah is based in Makkah Mukarrama. There's a distance of 6,000 kilometers between us. But in spite of the distance that we are spaced, I don't do anything and haven't done anything without consulting Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Yahan tak ke maamooli nashist to barkhas bhi Hadi Sahib ki idaat ke baghair maine nahi kiya. To the extent even getting up and sitting, I haven't done this without the permission of Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. That's the relationship. He is here and Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah is in Makkah Mukarrama, but the relationship is such as though there is a communication, that if I want to do something, then I'm communicating with him. See, this morning, the Hifz Ustad had come for some advice. So I explained, in the old, there were very less commotion, complications and problems. And one of the great reasons that there was less complications, problems, and trouble was that the old, they discussed matters, the people of the old, they discussed matters with their seniors. Small thing or big thing, it's a business, it's a journey, it's a marriage, whatever it was, but they would discuss. They won't just do things impulse. They won't just do it. Some thought came and they won't do some things impromptu, they won't do things just on impulse. They will go through the proper procedures, ask, find out. And that's the procedure, that's the way. See, the hadith says, مَا أَثْقَلُ شَيْءٍ فِي الْمِيزَانِ. What is the weightiest thing on the day of Qiyamah on the scales? All of us are going the same way. Qabr, Qiyamat, scales, books of deeds, and then Jannat, may Allah Ta'ala make it, and Allah save us from Jahannam. Nobody can say that he has been guaranteed with immunity against Jahannam. Nobody can say. Until you haven't passed all that checkpoints, can't say where you're going to be landing. So, this sahabi is asking, مَا أَثْقَلُ شَيْءٍ فِي الْمِيزَانِ. What is the thing that's going to be weightiest on the day of Qiyamah on the scales? So, husnul khuluq. The thing that will be weightiest will be good character, good ways, good mannerisms, good values. Again, the hadith says, يُدْرِكُ بِهَا درجت الصائم القائم. This good character, good ways, and good values, you get elevated to the position of a person that is in tahajjud all the time, elevated to the position that is in fasting all the time. You know, we have to keep a fast now, and we'll think from 1 week in advance, kale rozo rakhwano che bhai. Tomorrow is Roza, what about the Seri, Iftar, what is going to be the time, how difficult you feel. But now this good character is such, that this good character will elevate you to the status of the person that is fasting all the time, the person that is in tahajjud all the time. Then again, the hadith is a question, مَا أَكْثَرُ مَا يُدْخِلُ النَّاسَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَا أَكْثَرُ مَا يُدْخِلُ النَّاسَ النَّارِ. What will be the greater thing that will take people to Jannat, and what will be the greater thing that will take people to Jahannam? Right. Simple. What will be the greater thing that will take people to Jannat, and what will be the most important thing that will take people to Jahannam? So the greater thing that will take people to Jannat is taqwa Allah wa husnul khuluq. One is the fear of Allah Ta'ala, and number two is good values. And that which will take people generally to Jahannam will be the tongue and the private area. Most people get into Jahannam because of the tongue and because of the private area. And most people get into Jannat because of good character and the fear of Allah Ta'ala. I will talk about the story, will come up just now, inshallah. Because here it's not the story that is the purpose, it is to convey a lesson. But sometimes the story comes in the course of the lesson. Now we hear the word taqwa, and we hear the word the fear of Allah Ta'ala. So what does it mean? Now, little do we realize that in our lives, all of us, we apply taqwa. That restrain order, that fear, that restrain, all of us. I don't think there's any exception to the law. Everybody applies it. Maybe in a different context, but we do apply it. A child that is coming up to his examinations, then he's also taking care, he's concerned. Father also says, you better do it well, take care. Doesn't the father say, take care? Because the father is afraid, the child is afraid. If I'm going to fail the exams, then I'm going to be wasting my father's money. 1 year's school fee, sometimes 100,000, 200,000, according to what you are learning, then you have wasted the father's entire year. So much of money is wasted. The father is going to sing that song, you know, 200,000 of mine, you wasted. Apart from that, it's going to be so much of embarrassment what your friends are going to say. How did you fail? So you can't avoid too long. You can't keep them away from this information too long. You may say, my results are still coming. Right? But how long? You can't postpone it for too long. Right? So the great concern, the greater concern is that I mustn't fail at the end. The embarrassment I'll bring, the failure that I will cause, the disappointment that will be brought about to my parents, I must avoid all these things. Yes. I must be careful. In a business, you're running a business, running a practice. So if you're running it, or you got some managers to run it, so your advice to them is take care, please. You know, we brought this up to a level, and we don't want this to collapse, so take care. Don't you say that? Because you know what went into making up the business. When you know what went into making up the business, so whoever you were keeping in charge, you are saying, it came up with so much of difficulty, but it can collapse in a day. 1 day's time, the whole thing can just collapse. So take care. So any department of life, you're going to say to the child, take care. He's come up of age, so the father purchased him a car, gave him the keys. Take care. Observe the signs. Drive safely. Don't hurt yourself or don't hurt anybody else. Don't bring yourself into difficulty. And don't bring anybody else into problems. Take care. So all round, the same concept is being applied. But the only difference is that when we apply this concept, we only apply the concept to material. And the material is got a very short life. The pleasure is short, the life is short, but the effort is all directed to the material. You know, some 15 years ago, I think 2003 or 4 or 5 somewhere, so one person came here. He tells me that my brother is a pilot and his wife is a specialist. So I just received a phone that I must come up to Johannesburg because he was piloting jets, big jets, sometimes government things and all that, right? So because it was a long weekend and we don't get any response, he normally phones up and he comes to work, but today is Monday, he's not around. So he had a long weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we're not getting any response, no phone. So anyway, he flew up and he came and gave me the report. He said, no, I flew up, so there was no response, so we called in the fire people to come and break the door. We found the corpse there, summer, and the whole body was decomposed. Whereas we were so thick, so thick, you know, inseparable, our friendship was. Body is decomposed, the stench, the smell, Right? He was flying high and living high as well. Not only flying high, but living high as well. And then when I saw this body in this state, I didn't want to go near it. But I'm thinking to myself, it's my brother. From birth we were together. And up till now we were together. Now I can't even see his body. I can't go near him. See, that's material. The material relationship, the physical relationship, that's the end. But then, unfortunately, everything is after the material and the physical. The wealth, the comfort, the luxury, the excitement, the entertainment is just for the physical. Went to the Bergs for physical pleasure, right? Then tired of Bergs, we're going to Cape Town for the physical pleasure, material pleasure. Tired with that, then we're going to that Kruger Park, right? So I hear this thing so often that I learned it. I didn't even know these things here. Then tired of all that, then we're going to Disneyland. One thing after the other. But everything for the physical, material pleasure. I don't say don't have it. But can you see how much of effort is just directed to the physical pleasure? But that physical pleasure, that physical self that you're trying to restore and you're trying to preserve, what you see in the 2-3 days, the way the thing gets decomposed, disintegrated, that you don't want to go near the body, you don't want to see the person, absolutely nothing. Now you think to yourself, yeah, I spent so much, but this is what I get at the end. See, physical and what you get at the end. So therefore Allah Pak says, ittaqu, fear. Fear what? Fear the consequence. Take care of the consequence. You know, you'll put yourself into a problem, you land everybody in problem just now. So the boss is saying the same thing to the manager, the father is saying the same thing to the child, the teacher is saying the same thing to the student, all round, same lesson. One is to fear consequence, and number two, understand what you are here for. Understand your place in school. Understand your place in the shop, right? So, that manager, he doesn't understand, or the worker, or the salesman, he doesn't understand his place. He comes to school, so he feels the greater thing, I must be an athletic. I must come out first. I must be a good athletic, right? So the father will say, but you're wasting your time. The teacher will say, but although it's good for your body, but that's not the purpose why I sent you here. I sent you for something else. And the salesperson that is in the shop, he says, I just enjoy the ambience and the company here. I enjoy the lunch. So I come here for the lunch and for the company here. He's not understanding what's the purpose of him being put in that position. So the boss also has to remind him, apprise him, this is what you've come here for. The teacher has to remind the child, that sports and all that is by the way. But what's the purpose? So similarly, exactly the same, Allah Ta'ala keeps reminding us, ittaqu. By that entertainment, that joy, that running around here and there, ever, that car, that wealth, that investment, all that, that's not the purpose. It's not the purpose. It's just, by the way, just enjoy yourself a little bit and move on. You've come to the ultra shell, just enjoy a little bit, refreshing yourself and move. So the ultra shell was just to refresh you. But if you think that the ultra shell was the place that I must invest in and I must be there, I must just relax all the time, then you're mistaken. It's just there for you to be there for half an hour max, 1 hour perhaps you relax, you had some lunch or breakfast or whatever, you filled up the fuel, etc. And then you moved on. So exactly the same, all this filling that we do, all this entertainment is just a little bit of enjoyment. مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا غُرُورًا. So Allah Pak says, it's just deception. You think that this is the thing that I should be putting my energies, my time, my whole intelligence into. My intelligence, my time, my energies into. But at the end, Allah Pak says, إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. It's nothing but goods of deception. But most people don't even realize this until the end. Or a few people realize it right at the end, when they're already graying now. They say, amen. Where I put my energy, my time, my effort, where did I put it into? Now I realize that this was not the thing. This was just to make you feel a little bit comfortable and manage the entire journey comfortably. Now this taqwa is such an important lesson in the Quran Sharif that many a verses start with the command of taqwa. Right. Ya ayyuhan nasu taqoo rabbakum. You see that the whole, not only verse, but the surah is commencing, the first command, mankind, ittaqu rabbakum, fear your Rabb. See how important it is. And sometimes, in one single verse, this command is repeated twice, ittaqu rabbakum, alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida, waja'ala minha zawjaha, right? وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And then, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ again. See that, it starts off with اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ and it ends up again, اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Again, take care. It's not a play, it's not an amusement, it's not an entertainment, it's not a joyride, it's something else. There's a greater meaning to this life here that you haven't yet discovered, you haven't understood. So try and understand what you are here for. So اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ at the beginning, again at the end. Sometimes a whole surah is ending up with the same command, اتقوا الله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اصبروا وصابروا ورابطوا. And then, واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. Fear Allah Ta'ala. So sometimes the surah is commencing with اتقوا. Sometimes the surah is ending with that same اتقوا. Sometimes the same command is repeated twice in a single verse. Like the father now, he's advising his children, they had breakfast, so at the breakfast table, he said, go carefully please, just take care, take care. Then again, when he's leaving them again, please take care, there's no hurry, take your time, be safe. Same thing is discussed at the breakfast table, as he's leaving them, again he says the same thing, take care. We want to see you safe. So there's no hurry. Take your time, go carefully, come back nicely. See? Now Allah Ta'ala is repeating this so often. Why is He repeating it so often? There must be some genuine reason for Allah Ta'ala to mention this. Again He says, alright, you want some status, you want some position, you want some recognition in the hereafter, right? إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The one that has got taqwa to the level of his taqwa is his position. To the level of his taqwa is his recognition. We recognize him at the level of the taqwa. How careful are you? How cautious are you? Now, I just explained some of the things, some of the areas that will expedite this whole journey, that will bring you close to Allah Ta'ala. Some of the higher objectives. What I said, what is the heaviest thing on the scales? Good character, right? What will elevate you to the ranks of the sa'im and qa'im, to the ranks of the fasting person and the person that is in tahajjud all the time? And what will generally take people to jannat and people to jahannam? Same thing. Taqwa and husnul khuluq. Allama Tibi rahmatullahi alayhi, the shari of Mishkat Sharif, he says that the essence of taqwa is husnul mu'amalati ma'allah. To see that your relationship with Allah Ta'ala is right. There's nothing that is skewed, there's nothing that is concealed, there's nothing that is crooked. The records with Allah Ta'ala is absolutely straight. Right? You will also say, your friend, "Bhai, don't get into trouble with SARS, please, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. We rather pay a little bit more and enjoy a good relationship." Right? But you don't get into some bad books with them. Don't you say that? Because you try to save 100,000 rand, but perhaps in that saving 100,000 rand, you get into trouble, you have to pay 1 million rands. Everybody will tell you the same, so be careful. You earn that wealth with so much of difficulty, now you can lose that wealth. You're trying to save a little bit, but you're going to be incurring bigger losses, so take care. Now, how do you make out? See, we listen to talks, etc. How do we recognize? How do we make out? There must be a gauge for something. So, is there a gauge for you to recognize that you are progressing? A lot of people ask the question, is there a gauge for that? Is there a gauge? Can you see now, are we making some progress, or are we still there, where we started the whole journey, or we are progressing? So there's about 3-4 areas that you check yourself. inshallah, you will get some direction whether you're progressing or not. See, one is, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا. You always want to be quick in righteous works. In anything that is related to the hereafter, anything related to your life after death, right? So anything for the improvement of that life beyond this dunya, yeah, you are racing towards it. You want a good ending, you want a good transition, a smooth transition into the next realm. You want all that to happen. So now, is there an indication that I'm going towards that end or not? So one important thing is, يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. You are rushing towards that end. So Fajr namaz is not a problem for you. Reciting Quran Sharif is not a problem for you, right? In fact, you are attracted to these things here. You are attracted to these things, reciting Quran Sharif, coming a little bit earlier to the masjid, performing your namazes on time, not hurting anybody, right? Not mentally, not emotionally, not physically, right? So you're cautious about these things here. So anything that will improve your journey, anything that will improve your life beyond death, you're rushing towards it, you're moving towards it, you're concerned about that. You feel comfortable in those areas that start off that area that is commencing with death. Right? That area that is commencing with death, you are concerned about that. You're rushing, you're moving, your fikr is there, your concern is there, your worry is there. That life that starts after death. Last week someone passed away in Amzinto, some Ali Chacha, right? So they had to reuse the grave. Perhaps it was his uncle or his father or someone. So they dug the grave after 22 years. This Ali man, grave was dug after 22 years to find the body exactly as they placed it. The body is exactly the same. Same freshness as they placed him. And the additional thing was that there's a fragrance coming out. Now, he's an ordinary businessman, but then what escalated him? What brought him to that? So I inquired, the story came a little bit popular in Amzinto. So he says, there's about two things or three things the man was very particular about. He says, one is the ulama, and one is those that are studying deen. He was very particular about, very, very particular about, respect them, send them some gifts, wherever you could help, show some kindness. Irrespective of what people had to tell him, he made it a point to be kind, to be good towards them, especially ulama and students that are studying deen. There were some students here in the madrasa from Zinto at that time, and he would make sure that some food is delivered to them. Child, you ask him anytime, food, 24-hour service. Any time. It's good food. You can service it at any time, right? And he will make sure that he will send food for them. If it is his son or someone is moving, coming beside, deliver the food. And if they can't get the home food delivered, or buy something, and go and feed those children. Right? So that was one thing that was very prominent in his life. That any person that studied deen, or any person that is an alim, he will show the kindness, the respect, not backbiting them, not. They may have differences within them. That's not my area. Who I feel comfortable with, I will work with him, and I don't need to badmouth anyone. I don't know the real stories. If I am badmouthing, that means I know all the stories. I have got that level of ilm. You got that level of ilm, it's a different thing. But you don't have that level of ilm, either do your own thing, and leave these type of matters to those that understand. They have that level of understanding. They will rectify, they will correct the situation. But you don't have that level of ilm, then how would you get into these stories? You'll get into a story, putting your back more this person here, tomorrow that person. Then it will end up to that point where the only good person is yourself. You'll be the only good person, everybody is bad. So there won't be any good in the world besides the good that's within you. And the teaching of our elders is that there's some weakness in me, I need to rectify myself. I need to correct myself. I think I was not supposed to be using the word here. And I think my Fajr namaz was not done right. You know. So all the time you're trying to correct yourself, rectify yourself. There isn't a point in time, it's not improved, because you know that the life starts with death. And when the life starts at that point, then that's the point to work towards. It starts at that point. This is not a life. This is just an amusement. Illa mataul ghurur, lahu wal'ib, is just a pastime. Allah Pak says it. It's just a pastime. It's nothing. Kazar in akhraja. It's like a tree that was growing, came out small, it became lush and green, right? The crop, small, weak, came up lush and green. And in a few moments, then it is just withering away. Hutama, right? It's gone, khalas. But that green and that crop, when it was there, it looked so nice, so appealing to the eye, that wheat or that maize or something. And it took a few days and it came up. And when it was full in bloom, how nice it looked. The whole field looked green, lush, so nice, the color, the texture, it looked so beautiful. But then how long? And then in a few days, I think everything withers away, is gone. So that's life. That's what Allah is saying, that's life. You dare for a few days, for a few moments, and then you also just wither away and vanish. So the actual life is beyond, not this life here. See. Now what happens to us is, because we are surrounded by kuffar, right? And for them, the life after death is not a concern. It's not a matter of concern, then too much of interaction with them, and too much of living with them, reading up their material, their books, discussing with them, then their type of thinking begins to rub onto us. So we also begin to feel that life is just an imagination. It's one of those things, we'll cross it when we come there. We begin to think like that, we begin to behave like that, not even realizing that we are doing this. So, I just explained that the thing that will expedite the whole journey, take you fast, is husnul khuluq and taqwa. Taqwa and husnul khuluq. This is what will expedite the whole journey. Take it very easy. It will make you very easy in this life, in the next realm. Everything will become very easy. In the Bani Israel, Allah said to them, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The plan for you is that if you believe correctly and you take care, taqwa, you take care, then we'll open up happiness and enjoyment, blessings from all sides. All sides. فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Satisfaction, happiness, progress from all sides. That is, if they conform to the criteria, right? We'll give it to you from above, from below, from all sides. Happiness, prosperity, and progress will grant. The plan for this ummah, so the plan will differ from people to people, from nation to nation, from time to time. Plans will differ. The plan for this ummah is من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. If you keep to the criteria, believe, and you take care, then what will you get? Then, provided you do it rightly. You can't be asking why I'm not seeing the results when you're not doing it rightly. If you're doing it rightly, trusting Allah Ta'ala, you're taking care, and you are righteous all the time, your niyat is right, you are taking care, and you've got Allah Ta'ala in mind, then لَنُحْيَنَّوْا. The promise is, you will get an enjoyable life, a pleasant life. You'll have a life of satisfaction. Whether you're living in an informal settlement, whether you're living in a palace, but Allah Ta'ala will give you a life of satisfaction, enjoyment and happiness. Well, so that is not promised that you will get a lot of rosy, because you will get that also, but what you will definitely get is a lot of satisfaction, happiness, enjoyment. You will get it in this life. And that enjoyment sometimes will go to that point that as though you will feel that you're in Jannat already. Just that you're not seeing Jannat, but you're getting, going through that experience, that enjoyment like you would have when you entered Jannah. That type of satisfaction, pleasure and fulfillment one will receive, provided you conform to that criteria. Your heart is there, your mind is in the loyalty of Allah Ta'ala, and your heart is in the fulfillment, in the faithfulness to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's the whole goal of your life, that's the whole focus of your life, that's what all your life all about. So I just explained that one indication of your prosperity, of your progress, and if you are going in the right direction is يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. Because all these righteous people, Anbiya, Awliya, that was a common feature in all of them. It was a common thing in all of them, يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. Any good work, and you are hastening towards it, you are rushing towards it. So you got that in your mind. Like that hadith which says, وَانْتِذَارُ الصَّلَاةِ بَعَدَ الصَّلَاةِ. One, you are just waiting for the next namaz. You're waiting for the next namaz. You're waiting for the next Ramadan. You're waiting for the next Eid. No, I just read Quran Sharif. I want to, just waiting for the next occasion that I read Quran Sharif again. I just did my tahajjud. I'm waiting again for that moment of tahajjud. I can crack it again. I'll be so excited. I'll be with Allah Ta'ala all alone. Just waiting for that moment again. So your mind is in that. Your mind is not with the next destination. We finish with Table Mountain now. What's the next destination? In this world, what you'll get? What you'll get is about five things, right? Anywhere you go, for a holiday or whatever, right? You'll get sand, stone, water, right? Sand, stone, water. Some plants, shrubs and all that, right? Some animals, right? Anything else? Sand, stone, water. Some plants, whatever else, and some animals. Anything else? Just the format will be different. Here is different, and there is different. But when you summarize, I think these are the five things that you will see. So you just want a change of the format. You're bored of one format, you want to see another one. And then the third one, and the fourth one. Work towards the actual goal. Last year some lady passed away. It was ladies' or something. So Allah Ta'ala just gave her one glimpse of Jannat. Just one glimpse of Jannat Allah gave her, maybe a day or 2 days before she could pass on. And she says, you know, Jannat is so beautiful, man. I'm just waiting to get there now. I lost the taste for this world. The taste for this life is gone. Just one glimpse. See, we go through difficulty in this life here. But that one glimpse of Jannat is so fulfilling and so satisfying. That one glimpse is enough to make you forget all the happiness that you went through. You are making a big noise about what you got here. I got this thing here, I got this finish here, and that motor car here, and that plan here. Right? That one glimpse of Jannat, one glimpse, just one glimpse, is enough to finish all these things. Everything is gone. Everything is forgotten. It's out of the equation completely. You don't want to even talk about it. You see, it's not a comparison. It's not even a comparison. Imagine, just for your understanding, right? You got a small shop, 2x2 shop, right? Making about 20 rands in a day, right? Just for you to cut, just to make it basic requirements, 20 rands, or I say make it 50 rands a day, just to break even. Small little shop there, not even a proper shop, and you're just making 50 rands a day, you're just breaking even. And then someone tells you, you know what, you became the owner of this mall here. And that thing does not the turnover, the gross profit. The gross profit is 50 million rand in the day. When you're getting 50 million rand in the day, will you want to compete against the shop 50 rand? So that is not even a right comparison. This 50 rands against 50 million rand, that's one comparison. But you don't want to hear about the shop again after that, right? You don't want to hear. But that's not the comparison against Jannat. It's so great. Allah, let's open our eyes, you know. Begin to understand, see and understand what Jannat is. That our movement towards Jannat is more and more and more. So, this craving for the hereafter, moving in that direction. But that's a sign of acceptance. That's a sign that you're going in the right direction. That's a sign that Allah Pak is taking you. You can't become overconfident of yourself. You can't become boastful of yourself. But it's an indication. Right? People want to know, right? I'm going in the right direction, not going in the right direction. Now this is a sign, inshallah, you're going on the right. It's not a guarantee that you are there. Inshallah, like you want to go to Amzinto, say, or you take the right, take this turn here. Right? So, it's not a guarantee that you will reach Amzinto. Yes, inshallah, if you carry on like this, you will reach Amzinto. Don't you become overconfident. No, I've already gone to Abzinto, I'm already reached. Until and unless you didn't reach, don't consider yourself to be a guaranteed entrant of Jannah. So, one is the person that is going on the right, this is the feeling that he'll go through. But the person that is going on the wrong, the feeling that he'll go through is, وَتَرَى كَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ وَأَكْلِهِمُ السُّحْتِ. See, the one that is going on the wrong, he's also in a rush. He's also mad, right? Right. If he's got one shop, then second shop. Second shop, then the third shop. He's also rushing, moving. But then his whole endeavor, his whole race, this person's race was different, this person's race is different, right? They belong to different races. Although they're not racists, right? So his race is totally different. His race is what? That person that's going in the opposite direction, what's his race all about? تَرَى كَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. So they rush into guna, into sin, right? Hey, at the casino I made 1 mil. Tomorrow I'll make 10. So in guna, oh, I went after that woman. Now I'm looking for something better, better pastures, right? I robbed this person here, I must rob someone else, right? So he is rushing towards wrong. Anything is wrong. Interest, usury, gambling, robbing, cheating, frauding, misusing the eyes, misusing the tongue, misusing the ears. I heard this music, I heard this number, now it's old now. Something more exciting. I saw this picture now, something more exciting. See? So his mind is always racing in wrong. He saw that, now he wants to see something more exciting. And he's not getting the satisfaction. He saw that wrong, he saw a video clip, and he saw it now, he doesn't find the satisfaction. See, that from the night right till the morning. But he doesn't find the satisfaction. You see that guna, you will race towards it, and you will have no satisfaction. And the righteousness, as you're racing, Allah Pak is giving you the satisfaction. Getting the satisfaction, right? Fulfillment you're getting, and you're seeing your destination clearer, clearer, and clearer. Becoming more vivid and more clear, more graphic. Here, no satisfaction. But you want, like that person that's in drugs, Allah Pak save us all, right? From all his vices, you know, you feel afraid when you hear about, you know, there's a phone, whether it's drug, both are addictions, right? And both is misused, right? There's so many people that have died because of phones, like they've died out of drugs. I think the numbers have gone even more on that side. People that went into phones and all that, right? Addiction, and that was the cause of their death, right? But the scale is showing now that there's more casualties on this than on drugs also. So you see that it doesn't end. كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْإِثْمِ تَرَى كَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. An injustice, right? One is sin, one is injustice. Now, that injustice is not only individual, not only local, but it's become international, pandemic, right? Everywhere there's injustice. Everywhere there's injustice. Right. You talk against LGBT, then you're conforming with the law. And you speak against it, then you're breaking the law, violating the law. One side they're saying that there's freedom of expression. One side you say, no, you can't speak about LGBT, right? That's a criminal offense, right? And one side they're saying, no, if you speak for it, then you are law-abiding. All these conflicting ideologies now, we have to reconcile what is this, what is this meant for, what is that meant for. Yeah, you're doing it, you become a criminal. You're speaking out against it. You speak for it, you are law-abiding. But then the other law is saying that, no, but there is a freedom of expression. Now, freedom of expression, you can't say this, you can't say this. So where's the freedom then? So there's so much of injustice in an individual capacity, in a local capacity, in an international scale, but there is injustice right across the board. It's just for a person to have eyes to see the injustice that is perpetrated by. And the third thing that Quran is saying, تَرَى كَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ وَأَكْلِهِمُ السُّحْتِ. And eating haram. Indiscriminate, not worried about what, how it came, how much came, you're not worried about it so long as your coffers are filled. So this is an indication that person is going off. He's gone. No matter who he is, where he is, what contribution he is giving to which other project, but he is gone, he is lost. Now, this is a sign of acceptance, this is a sign of destruction. So this is one sign that the person is on course. The second sign that the person is on course is he feels at the end of the work, I haven't done enough. I have done, but I haven't done enough. وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلَهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. They gave their wealth, they gave their lives, they gave their time. Can't think of anything else. Life, wealth, and time. Everything they gave. But at the end they say, no, Allah, we didn't do it right, so do forgive us. Allah, please forgive us. We made a mistake here, we may have made a mistake here. And how can we do things right to the level of your majesty and grandeur? So Allah, do forgive us. See? So that's the second indication that this person is progressing. One is that he is always wanting to do the right. That's become like a natural thing within him, wants to do the right. Wants to correct himself and wants to do the thing that is right. Number two, he doesn't feel overconfident of himself. He feels, I did it, but I was deficient. وَبِالْأَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. They're making tahajjud all the time, but at the early part, as tahajjud time is about to end, وَبِالْأَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Again, they're asking Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. But the whole night they stood in tahajjud. But then, at the end, they're asking Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. They haven't done it like how we're supposed to be doing it. There must be something deficient that do forgive us for that. So that's the second sign that inshallah this person is going on course. The third indication that the person is going on course is he doesn't feel himself to be self-sufficient at any time. So he's referring, he's finding out, making mashwara. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. He doesn't feel that I am self-sufficient. He's done something or he's going to do something, whatever small, however small or big, but he's finding out. You see, you know, I started off as Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah is saying that even to the extent of sitting and getting up, I haven't done anything without consulting my Sheikh Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. See the attachment. Now that's the indication that the person is focused. He is not out of focus. Like a person is studying, he is focused. The father says to the child, why you be focused? Leave out everything else. The play will come afterwards in its time. But now you remain focused in your work. That's the father's desire for the child, right? So this third thing, to get that focus right, then you need to apply this thing here to consult, to find out small things or big things. The purpose for this is that agar is tarah se nahi karenge, to chori chupke se kaam karte rahoge. Then you want to be stealthily, make a plan here, scheme there, see I'm going to work around this. So everything you're going to scheme, you're going to scheme around, alright, how to make a plan here, how to hide this, how to duck here, how to make a plan here, how to give a cover-up story here. Come to the buzruj, you say, you know, doing a very good thing, doing namaz, but you're going to hall and ball and all that, making a lavish wedding, etc. One friend was here today. So he says, you see, when you don't think, you say, we think, we make mashwara. And then we work. So he says, the man just made about 150,000 to 200,000 rand. Then he had to get into a nikah or whatever. But he bust all his money. He had a small shop. It was enough for him, for his wife and children to run the house. But just for the show of it, when he bust all that money, now he's hand to mouth. He can't even sustain himself. He can't sustain his wife, he can't sustain his child. See? So you see, when this thing comes, but you don't consult, you don't think, you don't ask, that thing comes to my mind, I need to do it. And then only after that show is over, then you realize, hey, what have I done? The other way was by find out. In finding out, there's a level of humility required, right? Allah explains the quality of the righteous servant. Sir. يَأَتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمِ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. They humble towards believers, they humble. They humble, right? See, so that humble, that aspect of humility requires that he'll ask, he won't do things in haste, he won't do things just in impulse, he'll ask, he'll find out. But he'll feel, no, I don't know it so well, and they are my elders, I need to speak to them. It's a small thing, it's a big thing, but let me speak to them. So if a person has got humility, then he will ask. But if he doesn't have that level of humility, then say, why must I ask every small, little, simple thing? I must ask. I'm going to find out from him. What is this? I'm not his slave. You are my Rabb. So why must I keep referring to him? But now that person has got humility, say, no, it's a small thing or it's a big thing. But let me just find out before I take that step. So he's finding out. He's humbled about himself. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. Now this is a prominent feature. إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. Now all the Mufassirs say, وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ here refers to being humble. You're doing your namaz, you're obeying Allah Ta'ala, obeying Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But this prominent feature of you being humble. So when the person is humble, Mr. Shavisa Abraham explains, he's a person is easily accessible. You can talk to him. You can refer to him. You can discuss matters with him. If it's a problem, you avert him, he'll forget it. He'll ignore the problem. He won't take it serious. He'll just push it under the carpet and say, hey, let's carry on now. Whatever damage has been done, is done now. Let's carry on. We can't carry on with this thing for the rest of our lives. See. So the prominent feature of that mu'min is, وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. Be humble in all their respects. Somebody is paying them, not paying them, respecting them, not respecting them, recognizing them, not recognizing them, returning the kindness, not returning the kindness. He's not concerned. He has got that prominent feature of kindness, and not only kindness, but humility. I don't deserve it. If he wasn't good towards me, perhaps I don't deserve it. Or that person is wealthy and I don't have the wealth. Well, perhaps that person deserved that wealth. I don't deserve that wealth, therefore he's wealthier. So that feature of humility is overwhelming. Is overwhelming. Darul Dioban, there was a zamana, there was an age, there was a time. And this quality of humility was overwhelming. Even now you get some signs of it. But then it was too real. There was a drought in Dioban and the surroundings. So they had to make namaz of istisqa, namaz for rain. So there was a prominent buzruk, and they asked him to lead the namaz for the first day, the second day. Came to the third day, one person came up, another buzruk also, and he says, no, tomorrow I will do the istisqa namaz. Now there's a whole discussion carrying on that, hey, this buzruk is going to be reading, he must have got some kashf or ilham, and we're going to get rain, right? Third day he read the istisqa namaz for rain, and there's no rain. So they asked him, but why you had to volunteer to go and read the istisqa namaz? Did you have some kashf or something? No. What I was inspired was that there's not going to be any rain. Then why did you take the initiative to go and do the namaz? Why? So now look at the answers. I see he'd been hiding the answer just because of his humility. Then he says, you see, the first day and the second day there was no rain after that namaz. Now that buzruk that led the namaz, there'll be a little bit of embarrassment. Hey, in spite of being so pious and so close to Allah Ta'ala as people know it to be, and yet you didn't get any rain. So I said, let me take a part of his embarrassment. He's taken all that embarrassment. Let me take one third of that embarrassment. That embarrassment is not shifted to him altogether. Now what happens? All the praise for me, embarrassment for you. Doesn't it happen? Anything that is praiseworthy, anything good, hey, my work. He's just a tail thing, he's just coming on, he's just moving with the flow. But otherwise, I'm the leader.